The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And we say hello to you on a Monday, and it is a new week and some pretty exciting news if you're a Tennessee baseball fan. Tennessee has certainly had an amazing season, and it is going to last just a little bit longer. What a win yesterday over LSU. The Vols heading back to the College World Series. Haven't been able to say that in a considerably long period of time. They knock off LSU, which, by the way, was a big surprise just to get to that point as Palmieri bowed farewell to LSU in the game of baseball. Meanwhile, later in the afternoon into the early evening, it was a completely different story. How many times have we talked about the Razorbacks being the favorite to win it all, the number one team in the tournament, the best in the SEC, didn't lose a series all year long? Well, you can't say that anymore. Despite an absolute masterpiece by the game's best pitcher, Kevin Copps, it came apart late for the Razorbacks. NC State advances in one of the bigger surprises in modern NCAA baseball history. There's one left. Don't forget, there is a big one tonight. Don't think the weekend is over yet. Rudy versus Doody, trip to Omaha. Can you get any more exciting than this? One of the great baseball schools, and Notre Dame's not a bad baseball school either, seeking their third College World Series appearance. Mississippi State seeking its 12th. The two meet. It has been a weird series. The state was barely survived on Saturday. Yesterday, it was a mess. And tonight, let's all sit back and watch Notre Dame and Mississippi State in baseball. That game is on ESPN2 as we say goodbye here in just under 4 hours. Let's get back to the story that we left you with on Friday afternoon. The CFP, Kirby Smart, over the weekend saying the expected. It would create quite a change. We had Kirby on here, about a month or two ago. He was advocating it. Of course, several times he has missed out. Over the weekend, he joined Marty and McGee.
Changes have been relatively small. And, you know, with the potential of what's been proposed, it could change probably the greatest change there has been in terms of, you know, major college football. So there's pros and cons to it. I'm excited to see. You know, hypothetically, last year, the SEC would have had four teams in. You know, and I think when you look across the SEC, if four teams had been in this 12-team playoff, what would have been said coming out of it?
It's a good question, and you start to maybe put the pieces together of how we ended up with 12, who will benefit the most. You got it. College football playoff is on the way, and it's about time. Well, that's a headline out in the great Midwest, and Lincoln Riley on ESPN Radio Sunday with some more thoughts.
I got to be honest. I thought the job that the committee did was very well done. I think it gives every team a chance. I think the format still, you know, is going to be able to hold the bowls in place, which is, I think, so important to our history. I think it, you know, if a team has a couple of early season slip ups, it allows you to still be in it. It's still going to give you great quality of play. Not going to sacrifice that, but obviously gives everybody a shot, which a real championship format should do that.
So those are two of the top coaches, guys that have been in the playoffs before. What about the rest of college football? Headline from CBS Sports, CFP expansion may surprisingly level the playing field, enhance the regular season. One program that came very close last year, probably would have made it, is Coastal Carolina. Jamie Chadwell with Marty and McGee.
An invitation to the dance now. You actually have an opportunity. I think that's what everybody's, you know, talking about is no matter what type of season you had, it was very slim that you ever had an opportunity, slim or none, and slim usually left the build, you know. And we've got official visits going on this weekend, and I can look them in the face and say, if we handle business, we have an opportunity to play for a national championship. That's you've never had that opportunity to say it before, and you do that now.
So we will obviously continue the conversation. There'll be quite an expansive guest list tonight from the baseball conversation to the CFP. Mike Oresco, he may have yelled louder than anyone last year about his League with Cincinnati not getting in. John Wilner from the View Out West. Yes, there is still a West Coast that plays college football. Mr. College Football. Well, you have not heard from him yet, and we will. Tony Barnhart and KP on the big game three tonight. And we will certainly look forward to getting the report about what is going on in Stark Vegas. Let's get some phone calls here at 855-242-7285. You can get it now. I'd love to hear from you. And let's begin with David, who is first up. David, good afternoon. How are you? I'll try that again. David, go right ahead. You're on the air. Guy waits his entire life to be on the Paul Feinbaum show, and now he gets hung up on. We'll try this again. Let's try Tom, who is up next. Tom, go right ahead. What does this tell me? This tells me we have a problem. Anyway, we'll see if we can figure this out, because clearly, as all of you know by now, this happens every couple of months. They can probably hear me, but I can't hear them. And by the way, what we don't ever know is whether you can hear it, but we all need to hear the same conversation. We will reconnect. We will test the phone lines, make sure that this talk show allows callers. And we're coming right back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Okay, we are back here, and we're glad you're with us, and let's grab some more calls. Joe is up next. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Paul. How are you today, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, I'm just as happy as if I had good sense.
Well, you apparently do have good sense calling us, so thank you.
You're welcome. I had a couple of questions I wanted to ask you. I know the SEC teams have these huge television contracts, and I was wondering if you give me an idea about how much each team received from them.
From the playoff, is that right?
Well, no, from the, you know, the television network.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay,
shown on television.
Yeah, let me try to give you some general numbers, since even though we may work at the same place, they don't tell us what they are. Let me start with the previous contract, okay? The one that's on CBS every Saturday afternoon at 3:30. That contract is reported to be worth about $50 million a year. So you break that down, obviously, among the 14 SEC schools. Now, here's what's interesting about that. The new contract, which has already been signed but won't go into effect for a couple of years in football, is worth about $300 million a year. So I think you can see how that's going to change. Now, the SEC Network, which, of course, we're doing the show on, I've read reports. It's funny to say I've read reports, but when you add that up, when you combine that, I think, with the regular ESPN packages, there have been some media reports out there that would say that each school is getting somewhere between $40 and $50 million a year off of that part of it. So these television contracts are particularly lucrative. And I remember when the SEC Network launched, that was, you know, it was considered at the time, and obviously still is, to be the most successful sports cable launch since ESPN. Because of what it was worth and the region of the country that it's in. So these television contracts are worth a lot, and I think they will continue to grow.
Well, I wanted to ask you one more question, if I could, please. Do the schools get a check to the school itself or to the athletic administration?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it goes to the university. So let me talk about the SEC. So every school is part of the SEC. So I think the money goes into whatever account the school directs it to, and I'm sure it's a general fund number. I don't know that for an absolute fact.
So that means, like, if it was a $40 million contract, say to Vandy, the school could take $10 million of it and give it to the athletic department and take the rest and give it to the other departments?
Yeah, I'm gonna give you the I don't know the answer to that question, Joe, because I really don't. Ultimately, I think the athletic department would be the one that gets that profits the most, because I don't see how the university could claim the sports television money.
Yeah, I understand that. I see. Well, I appreciate you talking to me, Paul, and have a good day.
Okay, and one of these days I'll get somebody on that actually knows what they're talking about when it comes to television money. So thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Tom, who is up now, who we went to earlier and we couldn't quite connect with. Hey, Tom. Tom, you there? We've had problems with Tom today. Let me put it that way. Buddy is in Louisiana. Hello, Buddy.
Hello, Mr. Paul. How you doing, sir? Nice to talk to you.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to comment on the LSU-Tennessee game yesterday. Long-time watcher of baseball and all, but I was sort of disappointed in some of the Tennessee fans. When the LSU pitcher had to come out, they booed him. I don't know if you recall that or not. And then they booed the coach a couple of times. And then I noticed that some of the Tennessee players, when they hit a home run and all, some of them carried the bat almost all the way down to first base and then slung it off, you know, like, oh, I'll come back and get this. And I don't know. I was just disappointed in Tennessee in that respect, and I don't know how you feel about that.
Well, I feel this. I don't think that there's a place for that. I understand there's a lot of give and take, but, this is a high level. I mean, we're talking about the super regionals of the NCAA.
I think
both sides should show respect.
Oh, exactly, and especially with it was just should have been better off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know that Maneri had said some things a couple of months ago that upset some Tennessee folks. Now he walked them back as coaches and personalities tend to do. But I really. I didn't see I had the game on, but I must tell you, I was kind of bouncing around, so I must have missed exactly what you said, but I'm sorry to hear that. Thank you very much. Let us check out Will, who is in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Hey there.
I was wondering, are they going to change the name of Knoxville to K-N-O-K?
Looks that way.
Well, I really enjoyed it over the weekend, and once again, we're losing a lot of senior leadership and coaches. You know, I'm from North Carolina and regret seeing Roy and Coach Kaylee, but bon voyage to the LSU coach and Tennessee, keep rolling.
Yeah, I tell you, well, nobody needs me to emphasize how great the baseball has been this year in the SEC, but it was it was some spectacular moments over the weekend, and I must say, and I realize it's a fair game. I'm not suggesting it's not, but I must say I was heartsick over what happened to Arkansas. I just that program has been so great under Coach Van Horn, and it was just really painful. And I know somebody watching from Raleigh is saying, like, why do I care what you're saying here? And that's fair. I really don't care that you don't care. But that was a special team, and those things happen. Baseball is such an unforgiving game. It's hard to imagine something like that happening in football. An upstart like that, who really got off to such a rough start to the season and came on and did that. But we've heard, baseball coaches, never sleep. It doesn't matter. It's such a weird game. Basketball, it can happen. Every once in a while it does happen. But, those type of upsets just don't happen very often in football. Let's continue and check out Bob, who is in Tennessee. Hey, Bob, go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey.
I wish you could pass it along to your higher-ups that several of us people that try to watch SEC Network, we can watch it, but you do not have closed caption on, and it's discriminating against the people that can't hear well, like I can't, and I try to watch the games and listen, and I cannot hear what.
Bob, let me ask you, because I don't know, I'm asking you a question I don't know the answer to. Is there anything on the network that is closed caption?
I don't watch everything on the network, but okay. I do watch. I watched the SEC baseball, and it was great. I thought that not just because Tennessee won some, but I thought it was really good. And I was just disappointed because I've got a thing on my telephone that helps enhance my hearing, but I can't hear what the players or the coaches or the announcers are saying. And how long is it going to be before the SEC Network has closed caption? Well, I know you can't answer that, but maybe you can check into it.
Well, Bob, I will. I thank you for calling. And the reason I ask you is because I'm assuming that this show, I mean, I do that a lot of times. I'll maybe working out, I'll just flip on the closed caption and just keep up with some stuff. So I will find out. I don't know the answer. And I say this in full disclosure. Yes, it's pretty self-evident that we work for this company and we're proud to be a part of the SEC Network. But that doesn't mean we really know how the operations work. And all I can do is try to get you an answer, and I will. Thank you for the call. Thank you very, very much. David is calling next. Hey, David, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Great, great, great. Hey, I wanted to touch base about the playoff.
Sure.
I don't have a problem with the first four teams getting a bye, but with the rest of the teams coming through, haven't we already in the last couple of years, two, three, 4 years, decided that there's such a big gap between one, two, three, and four that what does it matter?
Yeah, I mean, you have to understand, David, what this is about. And what this is really about is picking your poison. And I think ultimately the story will get out how we ended up at 12. And I think the answer to some, I think some of you will find the answer quite interesting. I'll let it come out naturally because I don't have the whole story, although I think I have a pretty good idea how we got to this point. And it's like politics. Hey, by the way, I do want to say something. My friend Buddy Martin just texted me in relation to closed captioning, and He told me, I told you I'd get an answer. He said he is watching me right now, watching the show right now in closed caption and the games as well. So what it could be, to our previous caller, it could be a television issue, that every television is different. And, you know, some have more capabilities than others. In fact, I have a reasonably old TV, and there is very little I can get on there. So I think it just really depends on your television. So I would check that out first, and then I'll check with our people about the closed captioning. We will take a break. More to come. The commissioner of the AAC right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
We welcome you back, and Mike Oresko will join us shortly. He is the commissioner of the AAC. We're continuing as well to take your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Bronco is up next. Hello, Bronco.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I just had two quick questions. This September, Auburn is going to Penn State, and I wanted to know your thoughts on that game. And then my second question, which kind of like trickles into it, is would you like to see more home-and-home series against the Big Ten and the SEC?
Yeah, the second part of your question is yes, I would. And I happen to think this is just a fabulous matchup. As someone who's covered a lot of Auburn games and has covered a number of games at Penn State, I remember Alabama went up there, I believe, about 7 or 8 years ago, and it was fantastic. And I used to cover the Alabama-Penn State game every year, whether it was at Legion Field or in State College. And I'll share this story with you. I was flying through, I can't remember, I was coming back from Connecticut, I think, a couple of years ago, and I jumped on the plane with a bunch of Buckeyes, and they all, and these guys do not want to give Penn State any credit, but they all said it was the whiteout at Happy Valley was the greatest football experience that they've ever encountered. So I think this is a really special game. I like Penn State in the game right now.
Nice. And then, so would you like to see more Alabama?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to say this quietly because I know that there are a lot of good people in college football who support these neutral site games, but I am quite frankly sick of the neutral site games before the season. We have enough of them after the year, and that's fine. That's part of the deal, but I want to see games like Auburn and Penn State. I want to see games on campuses, not in sterile buildings. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Mike Oresko, cannot wait to get his view. We've had many conversations with the AAC commissioner. First of all, commissioner, great to have you back. Good afternoon, and how are you?
Thanks, Paul. Great to be with you. I'm doing fine, and I hope you are too, as well as your listeners. Thanks for having me.
We are doing great, and we're pretty eager to hear your view of where we are. I know there's a meeting coming up, and there's more to be hashed out, but it looks like we've made some progress since our last visit.
I really think we have, Paul. And, you know, one of the writers said that, you know, I was giddy. No, I'm not giddy. I'm happy. And I think our conference feels very good about what's happened. I got a call from someone who said, good day in the neighborhood, you know, and I think it was, you know, the day this was announced. You know, there's that Churchillian phrase, you know, it's not the beginning of the end, but it's the end of the beginning. I think it's, for us, it's been a long 8 years of struggle to try to, you know, accomplish something. And I think we're poised now to have a real opportunity that we didn't have before. But I also think, Paul, and this is more important, it's really good for college football. It really is. I think it's a fair and equitable plan. I think everyone now has a chance You know, it treats all conferences equally. You know, some conferences are more equal than others. We sort of know that. But the point is that they are, in the structure, they're treated equally. A lot's going to depend on the selection committee. But for conferences like ours, this is clearly a game changer. And the other thing, you know, there are a few things that are good about it, and then I'll stop. And if you have other questions, I'd be happy to answer them. But, you know, this doesn't give anyone a free pass. You know, it doesn't, you know, the A5 conferences don't have privileges here. They can't simply have a poor record and get in simply because they're the champion. Also, it allows us, I think, to pursue dissolving the whole group of five, structure, if it's really even a structure. You know, there's an argument as to whether it's a media coined term or whether it was set up by the CFP itself. But I think you have a chance now to say, look, it's all FBS, and there are some elite FBS conferences, or some that are more elite than others. You have to earn it. You have to earn it now. You know, I've said it's more of a meritocracy. It's more egalitarian. I think it's a principled plan. And incidentally, I would give a lot of credit to Greg Sankey, to Bob Bowlsby, because they're A5 commissioners, but they didn't opt for the A5 automatics, which they easily could have done, because that was, as you know, Paul, the speculation for a long time. This is what it's going to be, and then the G5 will get a slot. And you know, we were going to have a controversy regarding that. But now that's alleviated. You know, Jack Swarbrick, there are aspects of this that are not favorable to Notre Dame, but he understood why, and obviously was willing to make this proposal. And Craig Thompson, they all deserve credit for what I think is a very smart plan. And we'll see. I think this resonates. I think it will be approved, Paul. There are going to be some tweaks and probably some other issues regarding bowl. I just heard that, you know, part of what you were just saying. So there's work to be done, but I think overall this is a good plan that we can certainly as a conference embrace.
And Commissioner, if I could piggyback off of that, and you've answered it in part, but you know, we at least were convinced there would be the AQ, the automatic qualifiers, and you know, there was at least a thought that would help conferences like yours. So give us some understanding why you think it went another way. And I know you're pleased, but do you have any concern, though, that it will still make it difficult for your, well, we've already eradicated the G5, but for that part of the world?
Yeah, those are fair points. I'm not sure how it came about, Paul. I think, you know, they got in a room, and we've had some input over the last couple of years. You know, the entire group has talked about this for quite a while, and obviously there was a working group set up that I believe even Jim Delaney may have been on originally, and then he was replaced by Craig when he retired. I believe so. But the point is, there had been discussions about how you set this up, and I think they came to a good conclusion that maybe we just go with the top six conferences. You know, we avoid that A5, you know, G5 branding. We also don't just give somebody a slot that maybe they don't deserve. I don't know, the fact that this year maybe, you know, one of the A5 conferences was well outside all the others, and maybe the feeling was, you know, you should earn this. I don't know, Paul, but I do know this. It's a good plan, and immediately, I think, captured the support of a good part of the public and media, because it just is fair. It's fair. You don't have a privileged position here. You don't start out with an automatic bid that, frankly, during the course of the season, you may not earn. And what it does is, even though conferences aren't equal, it equalizes opportunity, and that helps all of us. And again, you know, I can use for now the G5, the G4. We thought there was a complete separation now between us and the G4, but that's a little less relevant right now. It may become more relevant as we still try to become an autonomy conference, and that's a parallel path. It's a more legislative thing, Paul, that we're going to still pursue. Also, you know, there will be revenue issues down the road, and we think we've improved our position enormously, but that's for another day to argue about, because that's going to come later. But I think in terms of this plan, but, you know, is it still going to be difficult? Look, a lot's going to come down to that selection committee, and Paul, you know how I felt about what happened to Cincinnati this past year, and I don't think that the fact that now you're going to have all these at-larges and that you're going to have the six is necessarily going to mean the committee will operate differently. But we are hoping to just continue to gain credibility so that we don't come up short and don't make it. Now, Look, some people could say, well, you know, you already had 12 teams in New Year's Day Bowl. So basically you've taken those 12 teams. You've now made it a playoff. In addition, you know, you have five conferences that are likely most years to have a team. So you're still fighting with, you know, the other four if you're the AAC. But I think it's different now. It just is. It changed everything because perception often becomes reality, and there's more a perception of equality. And remember, last year it would have been Cincinnati and Coastal Carolina. Maybe that was an unusual year because of COVID. But at least this sends the message that you have to earn it. And we're totally fine with having to earn it. You know, nothing is given to you. And we have to convince the committee that we're a good conference. We have to convince the committee that strength of schedule is important. And incidentally, as a sidebar, Paul, maybe there will be more emphasis on non-conference games and scheduling good non-conference games, because if you win your conference, you're in. If you're in the top six, and if you don't, you know, you've got to win, get those at-larges, and that, you know, strength of schedule will come in, you know, as a very important factor there. So, again, I think it could improve scheduling overall, and who knows what other. It's certainly going to broaden interest in college football. I don't think there's any question about it, Paul. You're going to have a dozen, maybe two dozen teams well into the season, just as you have in the NFL. You have a lot of teams vying for playoff spots. You're going to have a lot of teams still in the mix into October, November, and they're going to have fans that, you know, are going to continue to follow them. It's gotten a little stale, you know, at the beginning of the season. Oh, it's going to be Alabama, Clemson, or whatever, Ohio State, and therefore what's the use? And the other thing is, when people follow it all season, I think they're more inclined to follow the playoffs, even if their team eventually falls out or doesn't quite make it, because they've been invested in it all season. And, of course, the championship games take on huge importance, as you know. Now they're virtually playoff games, and so consequently I think the ratings will go up for those, as well as the divisional races or for conferences like ours in the Big 12, which don't have divisions, you know, the key games that lead to whether you're in the championship or not. So I think that's all good for college football.
Let me get one more in here that I don't think I've heard an answer for, and even Bill Hancock the other day alluded that he doesn't know. And I bring this up to you because you're not only a commissioner, you're a former television executive. So there is more to this than just meeting in Chicago and getting this signed off. So the question I have, with all this momentum, Commissioner, what are your thoughts on whether this can be done in 2 years? That's the earliest that Bill Hancock says it can be done. Or does this go to the end of the contract, which I think, you know, is understandable with all these contracts, but the momentum that and the public reaction, I think, will dissipate greatly if we don't see this for another 4 or 5 years.
I'd like to see it as soon as we can put it into place. Heck, I think I'd like to see it in 22 if possible, but for some reason that was ruled out, at least for now. But 23 would be, you know, ideal. Now, first of all, ESPN will have a lot to say about this, because, you know, we have a contract with ESPN through the 12-year period, and so consequently, let's see how those talks go when we finally arrive at a plan. Now, you have to have a plan to go to the networks, and so consequently, we've been, you know, holding back on that. And once we know where the network stands, I think we'll have a better idea of whether we can put it in place or whether it would be wiser, you know, to wait. And then obviously you have you do have future rights in these contracts, but you also have the ability to do other things down the road. But, ESPN's our partner, you know, as a conference, and we love ESPN, and we think the world of them. And so I hope ultimately, something can be done within the term of this contract. But I think that's going to determine a lot, Paul, as we go forward.
So, I mean, how does that work?
I can't get into all the details, and I don't want – I can't get into the details. I don't want to speak out of turn. But, you know, you mentioned that you obviously talked to Bill about it, and you know, it's complicated, and consequently, you know, but clearly ESPN has the agreement, and there are some language in there about how you go about it if you want to change things. But let's put it this way. There's a lot of things we're going to have to deal with, even if, like you said, even if this plan gets approved, before we know when we can go forward. And I probably shouldn't say much more than that. As Mike Slide used to always say, let's leave it at that, because I'll get myself into trouble if I talk more about it. We were
hoping that you would go off the Slive script, which we're well accustomed to. Commissioner, thank you so much. It's great to hear from you, and we look forward to continuing this.
always great to talk to you, Paul, and best to you and your viewers and listeners. And it's a new day, and it's a good day, and thanks for having me.
You got it. A man that helped get us there because he spoke very loudly and vociferously last winter. Let's take a break. Still a lot to do here on a Monday. We're just getting started. More some baseball conversation later about the game in Starkville tonight. We are coming back with more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back here on a Monday afternoon. Mark is up next. Hey, Mark, good afternoon.
Fine, Paul. Good afternoon to you. Listen, I just want to say how excited I am about this 12-game playoff. I mean, the Coastal Carolina and BYU game was one of the most exciting that I watched last year, and I'm an Alabama guy. Even though as classless as Coastal Carolina's players play, they played dirty, kind of like Tennessee throwing the bat yesterday. It still was one of the most anticipated games of the season last year, no matter which school that you pull for. The one question, yeah, one caller that hit the nail on the head. Let's say, like, with the SEC, when they go down to Destin, when Vanderbilt goes down there, of course, they probably got direct deposit on their checks. They funnel them over to other areas and don't reinvest any of it back into the athletic department. Case in point, I think right now Vanderbilt only has 3 women's bathrooms in the entire stadium. What I would really like to see you investigate, like you used to do in Birmingham, is go back and find out where all this money goes once they pick it up in Destin. How much of it goes back into the athletic department? How much of it goes into the general fund? And how much of it goes into new construction like what Vanderbilt's doing? Vanderbilt was outdrawn at home in the year before COVID by every visiting team. Now, that's profound. And I just would like to know. We should look into it. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the show.
Well, Mark, thank you. It's a good question, and I know Vanderbilt has talked about what they're currently working on. We had the athletic director here a couple of weeks ago. But will it be enough? Will it be enough to satisfy? And will they remain? And can they be competitive? New coach in basketball a couple of years now, and in football, and the baseball program is superb. But can the athletic department compete at a reasonable level? I mean, no one's expecting Vanderbilt to be a competitor on the same level as the top flight. Anyway, so here we are. We're 1 hour in. We had Commissioner Oresko on from the AAC. Later in the program, we'll preview tonight's big game in Starkville between Mississippi State and Notre Dame. We'll look at the Pac-12. There's some new numbers out by one of our guests about how much money all of this is going to mean to everyone. The numbers are in the billions. We'll talk about that, plus your phone calls, as we continue here on a Monday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.